Blackcast, episode 121. I'm JCM. With us this week is Miss Zaya.
Hello.
And Isley's not here. I think he's sleeping in or busy doing, getting ready for his grandiose Mother's Day present for his mom, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? But here we are. We were off last week. I couldn't make it in. Like, it's work. Wasn't able to do it last week. But here we are. I want to jump into new releases, but I think the only noticeable new release from last week would have been Child of Light on PC.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that came out.
Yeah. I downloaded it. I've played a little bit of it. It's fun so far. I just haven't gone back to it because I've been keeping it sucked back into FF. Mm-hmm. So, but I got to take some time. I have some time off coming up, so I'll probably play a Child of Light in like a day and just go through it. But yeah, it looks great, and I like the mechanics for when you're doing your enemy fights and stuff. It's fun so far. But let's see, let's jump into new releases this week. We have on PS4 MLB The Show 14, Sports Friends, Stick It to the Man, Titan Attacks, Bound by Flame, which I hear a lot of bad stuff about Bound by Flame, and then people that defend Bound by Flame saying, no, you should try it for yourself and not trust these other people. But I don't know, I never even heard about it until this week. So Vita gets Broken Sword 5, The Serpent's Cursed, Football Manager Classic 2014, and the God of War Collection, as well as Titan Attacks. I hear the God of War Collection is a little buggy on the Vita, frame rate issues and stuff like that. Mm. Which is a shame. I didn't see who did the port, but obviously it's not the guys that did all the other like HD ports, who worked on, I don't know why I'm blanking on the name, the guys who did the Xbox 360 version of Titanfall. I want to say Blue Point Games. Is that them? They did all the like Metal Gear HD Collection and the God of War HD Collection, I believe, on PS3. But I don't think they worked on this. PlayStation Plus, Stick It to the Man is free on PS4. Pro Evolution Soccer 2014 is free on PS3. And there's discounts across the board for Cabela's Big Game Hunter Pro, Bit Trip Presents Runner 2, Titan Attacks, Transformers Fall of Cybertron, The Walking Dead, Survival Instinct, Prototype 2. They had a flash sale last weekend. It's over, obviously, so kind of pointless to talk about it, but I thought they had some really good games in the flash sale. Now, I have a list. I posted it. Let's see. Yeah, it was. I'm going to see. It was Red Dead Redemption. what else was there? Come on. Where's the list? I posted this, like, not that long ago. Okay. Nope, that's not it. Okay, well, I don't know. Facebook does that stupid thing where if you have a lot of posts, like, it cuts out a lot of posts. I guess posts that don't get any likes or comments.
Oh, yeah.
You have the thing where you, like, click show more between April 1st and April 27th. It's like, just show me everything. Fuck. I don't want highlights. I just want all stories. God damn it. But, anyways, I can't find it. But it was a lot of games. It was, like, Bioshock. I think Bioshock 2. Red Dead Redemption. It was a lot of games. Oh, here it is. Max Payne 3, L.A. Noire, Spec Ops The Line, Guacamelee. A bunch of games were just $5. It was 22 games that were $5 over the weekend. It was like one of those Steam sales.
But, you buy 30 games and then never play them.
Yeah. But I was like, man, if I didn't own, like, I would have bought Red Dead Redemption if I didn't have it. Same for Bioshock, L.A. Noire, Spec Ops, and Max Payne 3. Like, those are great games. But yeah, it was nuts. I'm curious how well it did. But so going back into it, see what we did in releases already. DLC. Outlast got some DLC, the Whistleblower DLC for $9.
That DLC is messed up.
I hear the
so messed up.
It's one of the complaints I hear is that the hallways or the level layout's a little, it's too much like a labyrinth. And then the hallways are a little too narrow to actually run past enemies who are coming at you.
And, yeah.
not that I finished the original Outlast. I was playing some of that, and then I stopped for a while, and I haven't gone back to it. But I need to. Same with Octodad. Just Dance gets some DLC. Last of Us gets some DLC. Sound Shapes, Rocksmith 2014. Let's see. Some Vita DLC, no demos, and a bunch of discounts, of course. jumping into other news, Electronic Arts has revealed that they're going to be showing 6 new projects at E3 this year. So I'll be really curious what they'll be showing off, because it's revealing. So it's not like they confirmed that they'll show more, you know, Battlefront 3 footage for those who want Battlefront 3. And they've already announced Mirror's Edge 2. So it'll be just 6 new things. So I'm really curious what the 6 new things will be. Let's see. In Battlefield 4 news, they finally added squad support in the pregame lobby, which is great, because that's something they didn't have at launch, and they said they didn't want to do it because they implemented this new feature where if your friend's in a server and you join that server, you instantly get squatted up and create a squad with him if he's not in a squad. But you don't play the game not in a squad. You always join a squad. So it was a really dumb feature. But after complaints, they finally added it in on consoles. It's in beta, but at least it works. I haven't played it since they added it, or I haven't played it for a while because I've been playing other things, but I'm glad to see they finally put that in there, because it was getting people together was just a huge fucking pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we got to join a server with not a lot of people, and then you have to join, and you have to hope you get on my team, and you end up with like 4 people on one team, then one guy on the other team. It's like, okay, we'll hop over whenever you get a chance. Like, oh, there's a spot, but they're on a kill streak, so they don't want to jump over it, and then when they die, that spot gets full, and they can't. It's like, fuck. But, it's good to
see
that.
It's weird you can't just, like, you know, party up with people.
Yeah, it's...
And they, be put on the same team.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's, they... Like I said, they... Because now they do a thing where, like I said, where if you join your friend's server, it just, it squads you up automatically if they're not in one. But you're always in a squad, so... And it doesn't... You're not going to be guaranteed to be on their team if the teams are in balance. It's like, I want to join a server... Like, once you're in the squad, like, if you... In the game, once you get all together in one squad, then you'll stay in that squad for the rest of the game. It's just that initial get-together is a fucking pain in the ass.
Hmm.
It's like, Jesus Christ, it's too difficult. But now they made it to where now the very first server you join, you'll be together in a squad, which is good. Let's see. Harmonix launched a Kickstarter for Amplitude, a remake of the game on PS4.
That's exciting.
Yeah, they want... I mean, I guess it's not a lot of money. I mean, let's see. It's, $750,000 they want? They want $775,000 to do this. And you can, you know, back the project for $15 and you get the game. Well, that was the early backer price. $20 gets you the game. Totally fine. And if this game came out, I would totally buy it. But I don't think they're going to make their goal. I mean, they have 5,500 backers, almost 5,600, and they're at just about $200,000 with a pledge goal of $775,000. It's like, you're not going to make it. You should just make it, and then, I don't know.
I wonder if they set the goal for, like, everything. Like getting music licensing, marketing, the whole like project, not just building the game.
Ooh, I just saw the Kickstarter go up a backer and some money just now. That was fun. I've never seen that happen. I didn't realize it was real time. Yeah, I guess that's true. The goal must be licensing, because music licensing is a pain in the ass. I think they said they were going to, let's see. I thought they said Amplitude, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Instant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see if they have in their list here the music. Music of the Heart. The all-new soundtrack will focus on songs with an electronic-based feel with tones spanning dark, moody, to bright, and bouncy. Our award-winning audio team is uniquely capable of composing amazing music with ideal gameplay in mind. I'm trying to think of anything better. This has the best chance of creating killer gameplay feel and well-balanced list of songs. I'm trying to see anything about here about licensed music? I don't see anything in here.
Well, the first Amplitude had songs from like bands and stuff, but I don't think they had any like major acts.
They had a what was the band name? Boom, here comes the boom, ready or not.
POW?
Yeah, POD.
Is that it?
Yeah. POD. It was POD. The song was like POD versus Crystal Method, because Crystal Method did like the techno part of the song, and it was Here Comes the Boom. And that was like the one of the main songs on that. And there's a lot of songs on Amplitude. And of course,
I can't imagine it's very expensive to license a POD song.
Yeah, but back in the day, like, you know, POD, I guess, was big in 2003. So who knows what it was back then. And then it's not like there was a lot of tracks that were, because Frequency and Amplitude, like, they are essentially all actual tracks. It wasn't like Guitar Hero where they, you know, just recreate this song and have someone else sing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like legit tracks and they created the beats. And those games I really enjoyed. A lot more so than Guitar Hero when that game came out. But I liked Amplitude's multiplayer. And the level layout, the way it was kind of that, you know, curved, every track is like just this curved landscape, made sense for a multiplayer. But I liked the tunnel from Frequency where you can just kind of easily hit left or right and you don't have to go, you know, if you're on the way on the left, you have to hit right a bunch of times in Amplitude. I liked the tunnel of Frequency. And but yeah, I mean, I'd totally buy this if it came out. I was looking at whenever there's a Kickstarter that I'm interested in, I was like looking at the pledge amounts and see what the awards are.
Mm-hmm.
But like this one's the pledge $10,000 or more. Benefactor package, fly to Boston for a guided tour of harmonics and a jam session with some of our best musicians, a helicopter tour of the city in the, I don't even want to pronounce that word. let's see, blah, 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 blah. And other harmonics madness you can only dream of. Includes airfare, one night hotel, continental U.S. only. Also includes previous tiers, excluding the PAX panel, visit harmonics, meals, get your song in the game, and house party. I think when they always have the higher tiers and they cut out stuff, because they have other tiers in here, like $3,000, like $500, you get a, you know, submit a balanced electronic soundtrack, a song to them, and they'll include it in the game if it's good.
Mm-hmm.
3,000 gets you a visit to harmonics. 3,500 gets you dinner with the founders. And where's the PAX panel one? VIP package. Oh, $250 gets your VIP package. Join us at the harmonics panel at PAX Prime 2014. Get kick-ass seats. And we'll be your best friends for exactly one Seattle hour. Does include collector edition rewards, blah, blah. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to make their goal. Not in 13 days. Sucks. Yeah. I'd totally buy it, but oh, well.
Well, maybe they'll hit enough just to make the game, you know?
Who knows? We'll see.
Because I don't think it's going to take that full amount to make the game.
But it's like, at that money, it's like, can't you just, you know, like, it's Sony's IP. So they can't go like, oh, here's $775,000. I mean, that's not a lot in terms of Gabe DeMillman.
No.
And I'm surprised Harmonix just can't do it. Like, hey, let's do this as a little side project. But I don't know. Let's see here. It was revealed in an interview by, let's see. Sony Computer Entertainment Europe senior designer Jed Ashforth confirmed when he was speaking with TechRadar that the PS4 controller's light bar was designed to work with Project Morpheus, which explains why, you know, they introduced it with the light bar, but there was no real use of it outside of identifying, you know, player controllers and which one's which. And all that, but they couldn't really say, oh, we put this in here because we have this virtual reality thing we're working on. You know, this VR headset. So, but now it makes sense. And they did add that update that allows you to dim the light. At first I was like, why wouldn't you just let it turn it off? And then I was like, okay, well, if it works with Morpheus, then you don't want to turn it off. You just dim it. And I dimmed mine down. Not that it ever bothered me. My TV's... That's what I don't understand. It's like people say, oh, I can see a glare to my TV. And I'm like, they must have their TVs, like, really low to the ground. I mean, my TV is... When I sit on my couch, my TV is essentially... The base of my TV is essentially at eye level if I'm sitting on my couch. So I'm kind of looking up a bit. So if I'm holding my controller, you know, down at my lap as I'm playing a game, the light isn't shining on my TV at all. It's like, I don't understand. And a glare, like, I don't... Whatever. I don't know. People must have crazy TVs.
But I don't know. Had a problem. Looking at my TV and where I usually sit, I could see where it might glare, but I don't know. I don't have, like, a super shiny TV. It's like a matte finish, so I don't think it would make that big of a difference.
Yeah, and it's like, it's... You'd have to be... The light's not that bright. I mean, maybe when it's in white, like when you're spray painting in Infamous, but I don't know. Like, it's not crazy. Like, I can see it reflect off my computer when I'm playing because my computer's, like, literally right in front of me. So it's shining on the screen there. I can see it there, but it's like, that makes sense. That's a few inches away from the controller. You know, it's not 5 feet away from the controller, but...
People must be sitting really, really close to their TVs. Yeah.
Or it's when the screen goes black when it's loading. Like, I can see my controller.
Oh, my God.
Pulls me out of the experience.
So does the loading screen. Goddamn.
Yeah. It's like the light for my windows. The window behind me is more annoying than I noticed that versus because it's a giant fucking window. But even when this TV's on and I'm playing a game that's got vibrant colors, it's like, then I don't notice it anymore. It's only when, like, there's something dark and then I can kind of see it. But even then, it's like, that's the sun, you know, light bouncing off and coming in the window. But whatever.
So, people like to complain.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, stop, stop. Music. No, Jesus Christ, I clicked on something. Dying Light got delayed to 2015. Dying Light was the game made by Techland. It's that zombie runner. Dead Island meets Mirror's Edge. They said the reason for the delay is because they had the desire to innovate. They said they want to keep going with the game and keep, you know, perfecting it and making it everything they want it to be, which I'm totally fine with. I was looking forward to the game, but now I just have to wait till February. Which is a shame, but let's see. Yeah, it'll allow them to fully realize their vision of an innovative open world game. But yeah, I mean, if it makes the game better, that'd be great. I mean, it looked
good.
Yeah, from the they always had like 12 minutes of gameplay on the PS4. You can watch it play, and it looked fine. But yeah, we'll see. Just have to wait now. There's plenty of games, I guess, between then and now. I mean, Watch Dogs comes out soon. Wolfenstein comes out on the 20th. I still have Child of Light. It's like, there's more games coming. Let's see here. I think that's it for the news. I was trying to remember if there's anything. Oh, Sony's E3 press conference is going to be the 9th of June, I believe, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which I'm glad, because Microsoft is at like fucking 8:30 or something like that. So I didn't want Sony's to be while I was at work. I wanted to be able to watch it.
Yeah.
So now I'll be able to go home and probably... Oh, man, I hope they allow it to be streamed on the PS4 somehow. But because I don't know what service I have to use. Some web pages like that stream it don't have best of quality. I hate when it has to buffer. Mm. Like, oh. But
well, Microsoft streams theirs through the Xbox, don't they?
Yeah, too. You can just do it there.
But yeah, so I'd assume the PS4 has the capability to do that now.
I hope so. I hope they add a full Twitch functionality like they have on the Xbox, where you can actually view Twitch channels, not just people playing who are broadcasting their PlayStation. Like, I want to be able to watch StarCraft tournaments on my big TV, not on my computer monitor.
You just plug your computer into your TV.
Yeah, I could, but I mean, it's not like my Mac is so close, and I have a second screen. So usually, what I'll do is I'll put it on the second screen and then do whatever I'm doing on my main screen. And then, which is fine. It's just, it'd be nice to do that. And then I wish I could do it on the PS3. Like, I wish Twitch.com still worked in the web browser. Because then if I was like exercising or something, I could just watch it in there instead of on my tiny little iPad or unplugging my Mac and plugging it in atop my dresser so I can watch StarCraft tournaments.
Mm.
But I always like, I have it up and running on my iPads. That way, if I have to walk away from my computer and go do something, I can just keep it on my iPad. It's like that stupid commercial with the guy watching basketball, and he gets up to answer the door, and he takes his tablet with him, and he's watching on the tablet, and all the basketball players are like, what's that? He's like, oh, this is, you know, Xfinity Blast or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever he calls it, like, second screen. I can watch whatever I want, and like, he just, every time he gets up, he always watches on there. But it is nice to have it when I'm doing laundry and folding, mm-hmm. and I can just have it on my iPad. But let's see. So I guess that's it for news. I'm trying to think of anything old that happened that we might have missed. I don't have it here, but I saw that they were someone from Naughty Dog was talking about The Last of Us on PS4. And how the character fidelity is going to be the same. They're going to look the same as they do in the cutscenes. That's how detailed the character model is going to be. And I was like, that's fucking awesome.
That's crazy.
I know. That. And they said because of that, they almost... And because they also go into 1080p instead of 720, they almost ran out of room on the Blu-ray. because of that. But they were able to, like, I guess, make it work either by cutting some minor corners or something, but they got it on there. But I was like, dude, that's fucking nuts. I can't wait to play if the characters look like that, like they do in the goddamn cutscenes. That's so much detail.
That's worth replaying the game if it looks like that.
Yeah, I'll totally buy it.
Yeah.
Especially since, and they said every difficulty mode will be unlocked right when you buy it, which is good, because I didn't want to have to play through it once just so I could unlock Survivor or... whatever the new hard mode that they're adding in. But I was like, good, I can just play on the hardest difficulty and be ready.
Man, I can't. It gets more difficult than not being able to use your detector sense or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm assuming what they do is, I'm trying to remember what they, let's see what they said. Let me find the patch, because I know the patch just came out on the PS3. I believe. So let me see. The Last of Us patch. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Grounded difficulty to the single-player campaign and mode for the toughest of the hardcore with super aggressive AI. That's what it was.
Oh.
So I'm guessing it'll probably be just like Survivor, except maybe you'll have even less ammo you can pick up. And then really aggressive AI. I'm curious how that'll be, because you couldn't really change the runners and the clickers to be more aggressive, because they're essentially aggressive enough. But I feel like if you change the humans, their AI, to be more aggressive, I feel like that would make them seem more, you know, just kind of like, instead of taking cover and trying to flank you, it's like, oh, we're just going to run right at you because we're like, you know, get them. But...
Mm.
Which kind of leaves him open to attack, but who knows? I'll be interested to see
what happens. Maybe it'll make it harder to like sneak up on clickers and stuff. Like they'll hear you from further away or something. You have to be super, super sneaky.
That could be. We'll see.
Runners too, because there were a few instances where it seemed really too easy to sneak up on some of the runners and like just take them down normally.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you won't be able to do that anymore.
Well, we'll see what happens when that comes out. Yeah, so that's it for the news. I'm looking forward to The Last of Us PS4 edition. I'm looking forward to Wolfenstein as well. And Watch Dogs. Ugh.
Oh, I'm so excited for Watch Dogs.
I know. I can't wait. But it's, I think of like all the FF14 I've been playing, I'm like, oh, well, now that's going to get cut back because I'm going to be playing all these other games that are coming out. I'm going to have to get that second PS4, I guess, so I can play 14 on another screen. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I said I want to do that because that'd be nice. Because it's a shame I can't have both of them running since 14's, you know, I have it digitally. And then I can't, like, just keep that running in the background and then boot up Watch Dogs or Wolfenstein and then be able to hop back and forth between them or something. I don't know. I mean, I guess what I could do is if someone wants me to... Oh, I don't know if they patched it yet, but when you're on PS3, you can't see people on PS4.
Like on the friends list?
Yeah. At least that's what I heard for a while ago, and I thought that was still the case. Like, you can't see when they're online.
That's what I was saying. Like, the week that the PS4 came out, you were never online. And I was like, he must be on PS4 because there's no way he's not online.
Yeah, someone...
I couldn't see when people logged in when they were on PS4. I was like, oh, maybe it's a different friends list or something.
Yeah, because when my cousin was telling me, he's like, I think the friends list is broken. He was saying, because he's like, because when I look on my list, like, he's like, my PS3 says I have X amount of people on. And then on my PS4, it says I have more people on. But then when he looks at his list, they wouldn't be there. But granted, that was a legit friends list problem at the time when the PS4 launched, where it was telling you more people are on than actually were. But they fixed that pretty quick, so I just kind of let it off. It's like, oh, it's fixed now. But then I noticed when I was on my PS3, because I go on there for, like, in my bedroom when I go to watch stuff on YouTube, I noticed that some people I can't see online. I'm like, I wonder if these people, you know, aren't there. Like, and then I go on my PS4 and it's like, oh, these people are online. They've been online. I'm like, oh, okay. Which is kind of annoying that it does that. Hopefully they patch it at some point soon. But, because I guess what I could do is if I'm playing Watch Dogs or Wolfenstein and someone's like, hey, we're going to go do a, you know, XYZ run. Do you want to go with us? And I could be like, they just send me a message and I can just hop out and go into FF. And we did a Ultima Hard mode yesterday. Failed like 3 times and then got him the 4th time. I have all the video clips saved. But I like a lot of fights in the game that have fun, like, dodge mechanics. Like, yeah. A Braflox hard mode with the Bomberman boss.
Yeah, where it does the lines of bombs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, oh, you gotta dodge the... It shows you where they're gonna blow up, the blast they're gonna do. It's like, you gotta dodge them. Like, that fight's really fun. I do hate the last boss in that zone, only because when he does that thing where he sprays down, he drops the bombs from the sky, and you have to do your AoE moves in order to hit him away. Like, I have, as Dragoon, I have 2 AoE moves. I have Ring of Thorns, I think that's what it's called, and then now I forget the other move because I don't ever use it anymore.
Dragonfire Dive?
Yeah, it's a straight line AoE. But that move requires a target. But yeah. Ring of Thorns doesn't. I can just spam it. But the animation and then the delay between the bombs registered that they're hit takes a little while. So I feel like I'm not going to be able to clear whatever ones I'm attacking right away. And then it's also from the point at where the animation started. So you can, because I could be in motion and, like, running, and I can activate it, but where I land as I'm moving isn't the point where it takes place. It's kind of like the glitch of elusive jump, where if I'm standing in an AoE line and he's getting ready to move, if I do elusive jump from that point and jump back, even though my character model is about to land, if it goes off before the animation finishes, it still says I'm hit because it still registers I'm there until I actually land on the ground.
Oh, yeah, you're still in the original spot until you actually land.
Mm-hmm. Despite my character being midair.
Yeah.
That'd be like if... It's like if Super Jump in 11 was like... It's like, oh, you're in the air, but it doesn't matter because technically you're still right there. It's like, well, that negates the whole purpose of Super Jump.
Yeah.
But not that I ever used Elusive Jump. I did use it in a... I believe it was... let's see. I want to say... Copperbell Mines hard mode, where it's there's an elevator shaft you go down, and then at one point, like, we died and I go back and the elevator's at the ground, so everybody just falls down and, you know, takes a bunch of damage because they don't care because we get revived and there's, like, a boss fight right around the corner. But if I do elusive jump down the shaft, I take no damage. But I tried to do it when I was at a little Alamigo doing some dailies. But I tried to jump off the back of a cliff to where you can typically run off. But when I went to jump, the jump animation halted me in an invisible wall in the air. And then it let me go down. But of course I took damage because it didn't actually do the animation of the jump. It reminds me of a glitch in Tomb Raider Underworld where you can jump backwards. Like you do a dash backwards or something and you hold a certain button, either fire or something like that, and then when you hit the ground, you'll take no damage. Which I found out because when I was trying to platinum that game, it glitched on me when I saved and didn't save me at the bottom of a spiral like thing that you have to take a motorcycle down, and so I didn't want to have to start the entire game over to get the platinum that I was working on. So I was like trying to look for Tomb Raider Underworld glitches to survive falls, and I found that one. I was like, sweet, this just saved me. Because my motorcycle's at the bottom of the thing, and I'm at the top of the level, and I can't get down without it. It's like, ugh. But yeah, that one. But yeah, I like the hard mode version of Ultimate Weapon. The one thing I don't like is it's fine the fact that, you know, oh, hey, you know, the boss, you have, like, I was wondering for a long time when they go, oh, this fight's a DPS check. This is a DPS check. I'm like, to me, when I first heard DPS check, I was thinking, okay, DPS check, A, obviously you have to be able to do X amount of damage as a DPS. And then I thought maybe accuracy. And then I realized there must be some other purpose for calling it a DPS check. And then I realized, oh, it's because after X amount of time, they rage.
Yeah.
And you basically all die. Which I'm like, okay, now it makes sense. Don't call it, I guess you can call it DPS check. Like all this new stuff that people call things now in 14, like when they call like Garuda hard mode or Garuda extreme, it's just Gex. I'm like, Gex enter the Gecko? That's a game.
That's from just back people in the day. Being lazy.
Yeah, it's like, I can't stand that. But
yeah. You're like, I'll play some Gex. I love Gex.
Yeah, Gex enter the Gecko. Uh-oh, I closed my window on my blinds. But the one thing that I do hate is when you have to do like, it's like, oh, we have this last mechanic of a fight that has to go one way. There's only one way to do it, technically. And like the for sure far away is like, oh, the tank, you've done, oh, I'm assuming you did Ultima.
Yeah.
Hard mode, yeah. The last part where he summons like the last like 20 orbs or whatever like at once that have the short strings. And it's like, okay, the tank has to limit break 3 so everybody can just run to the bombs and not take any damage. And it's like, and if you don't do that, then you don't make it. Because you're not going to, like, even if you try to coordinate, it's like people are still going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. But, and I don't like, because there's a delay in doing limb break, and also it could be interrupted. So it's like, I don't know, it was just faint. That's one thing, because we'd get really far, and that's like where we'd get, is we'd get right to that last part, and it's like something would go wrong, and then that's where the fight would end. And I kind of hate that the Echo gives you bonuses right away. I could see, like, if you fail, like, let's say 3 times, then you start, not after the first death.
Well, you have to last a certain amount of time in the battle, but it's a really short amount of time, so it would be understandable if you last like half the battle and then you die, then it gives you an Echo buff. It's like, all right, you guys are almost there, just a little extra push. But
yeah, but I still feel like it's a little too much of a handicap, because it's like okay, we understand the mechanics of the fight, it's just this one thing that we messed up on. It's like, we don't necessarily need these bonuses for the beginning 75% because we got that down. It's just this one last thing where we have the time to limit break, and it's like, because of the delay there, it's like maybe if the Echo made the limit break instant, then you'd be good to go. But I always felt like the Echo was a little, like when we did a Titan hard mode when I was doing my relic, and like he was fine. It's like, oh yeah, dodge everything, it's easy. It's just like, that fight's fine, it's just, it's Dark Souls, you make one mistake and it costs you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one thing I hate about that fight too is like the goddamn fucking explosions. Was it, no, it's not that fight. Yeah, it is that fight, right, where is it that or is it Ifrit
where he summons the bombs? Or
no, it's one of the fights, I want to say, I don't remember if it's Ifrit, if it's an Ifrit move or a Titan move. I think it's a Titan move. No, I think it's a different move, maybe. We're like,
oh, the ground cracks explodes. On the ground?
Not the cracks. It's like a different move. It's like more of a fiery circle.
Is that
Titan? And like this big plume of smoke comes up and covers your entire screen, and you can't see shit.
It does it in Ifrit too. It's Ifrit has a version and Titan has a version, but I don't know if Titan's version like explodes as smoky as Ifrit's does.
Probably not.
Ifrit's fucks up your screen. It's like I can't see anything now.
I think it's Ifrit because I just know that when Ultim was doing it, that's when he alternates the two moves. The Titan move and the Ifrit move,
Titan move, and then you can't see or he does the Ifrit move and you can't see the Titan move.
Yeah, like, even though it's always like Ifrit's on the outside and Titan's on the inside, so you know to like run out and then run in or run in run out. Like you know that, but it's like it's just annoying that I can't see anything on the screen.
Yeah, you just have to know.
And that part where like you run into the center of the arena to dodge the airships, but all the little Magitek pieces are just shooting their lasers right at the center. It's like, well, I'm taking damage no matter what. But like I said, I like the mechanics of the fight. I just don't like that last "you better nail this, or else" thing. It's like
that's what I hate about doing Titan. There's the margin of error is so slim. Even if you barely get hit by something, it's just it's screwed. The whole thing's screwed.
Well, it's fine. I could see like it's fine if like the margin of error for the single player being high is fine to me because you can just get revived. If the rest of the party is doing fine and one person dies, it's like, I feel like if I die, okay, that's on me, but I can get revived. But I feel like when it's a moment where it's AoE damage that everybody takes, that like in the ultimate fight where everybody has to do this, and if it's like you need this one thing to go off, otherwise everybody dies, it's like, well, it's kind of silly. Unless you had people sacrifice themselves, I guess, but
it's like that in Titan Extreme because everybody stacks up to avoid the landslides and weight of the land and everything. But if you get caught in your weight of the land, you get caught in seven other people's weight of the land, so you just die instantly. You get hit five times with it.
It's like that one where Ultima targets someone and they make them do that the crack on the ground thing and like five times, and they have to run around. But they don't run away from the party. Like, they run through the party. It's like, what are you doing? Don't take damage.
Don't bring that over here.
Yeah, go over there. Luckily, most people were good. He'd only target people on the outside of the arena. So they'd always... Oh, man. I wish I had it recorded, but I did my first Crystal Tower, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. There's some things I like about it, and some things I don't. I don't like playing with people I don't know. Like, that many people. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched videos on it, so I knew the essential mechanics of the fights before I went in. But when I was... at one point we were playing. I forget who we were... Oh, we were fighting... who was it? Is it a Behemoth? King Behemoth?
Mm-hmm.
And... he does the thing where he targets you, and you have to run away, and the comet falls and gets... You take damage, but it stays on the ground, and you have to hide behind whichever ones are left when he does his finisher move.
Yeah.
Anyways, at one point, we're doing that, and someone, like, we're running around looking for the comet that's on the ground, and there's one on the ground, but it's right at the edge of the arena, so you can barely stand behind it because the model is, and someone shouts, like, who put this comet here? And it was just the funniest thing. And for a second, I thought it might have been me because I accidentally kind of ran a little close to the edge when I got targeted, but I wasn't right on the edge. And it was in a little bit of a different spot. I'm like, okay, this isn't mine, but I just thought it was really funny. It's like, who put this here?
And I was hoping I had this comet here.
Yeah, it was funny. But I liked, the dragon fight was okay. The whole mechanic with the skeletons and you all die if they touch, whatever. And you got to make sure people are killing them far enough away and not too close together or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. The Atomos fight is kind of fun. Although, I was confused because I felt like we had the one tank at Atomos. Does he actually do any damage to anybody? I feel like he doesn't. Yeah.
No, I don't think Atomos does.
I was going to say he doesn't.
He just summons the adds, and then the off tank takes the adds, and then the DPS that are standing on the platform to unlock the other Atomos kill those.
Okay, yeah, because when we did it, it was, you know, we got our party of eight. We had one tank up at Atomos. There was a DPS at Atomos. There was four people on the platform, and the off tank was pulling them. And I don't know why, but for some reason I thought, like, I'm so used to the mechanic that if there's ads, you kill the ads. So I was like trying to kill the ad. I was like killing the ads because no one told me otherwise. Like, I assumed that's my job. We got two people fighting him, which is fine because we still just killed him before the third team did. Mm-hmm. And they were probably doing it properly. But like, I was like, first time there, I just feel like, oh, there's ads, kill the ads. Even though I watch it, but because I was talking to someone in Linkshell when they originally got to run with us, and he's like, oh, we'll probably be on the ad killing duty. And I was like, oh, okay. But so I kind of messed up on that one. But but yeah, overall, I mean, Crystal Towers, it's fine. I like the three-part mechanic on the one boss where only the person who's invisible, the people that are invisible, can fight the boss.
Thanatos.
Yeah, but you have to protect the pots. And then I'm like standing there, and there's a ghost floating towards one of the pots, and I'm like, anyone to go kill the ghost? I'm gonna go solo, I guess. So I just kind of run over there and start telling ghosts, like, we lost two pots right at the end of the fight, but we still won. But yeah, that was it. I just don't know if I'll end up running that again, unless I have like a full party for my free company, and then we go in, I guess. If we had a full like free company alliance or something, they can go in there. But
that'd be awesome.
It's just, yeah. I just don't want to run with that many people I don't know. You got the people like starting like, oh no, it's got to be like this. I've done this like 40 times today. It's like, okay.
Good for you.
And then I'm like, got to do stupid Atma farming.
I refuse to farm Atma. I won't do it.
Yeah, I
have it started. I won't do it.
I wouldn't do it either because I'd rather get my weathered weapon, because it's the weathered polearm is essentially the same stats as my Atma weapon. But I have to do, I need a lot of soldiery tomes to buy the 10 items I need to trade to the person. Plus, I need like an old tombstone or something like that, which drops from Binding Coil Bahamut, like one of the turns, like turn two, which I haven't even done yet. So it's like the time it'll take me to get those, to get that much soldiery, at which I also want to spend on gear because I need to upgrade my gear. It's like I'm spending myth to upgrade my armor, and then I have to spend soldiery to upgrade my accessories. Because my accessories right now, they're okay. I have, like, the last thing I need to upgrade are my rings. I still have Rubellite rings. I don't have anything better. But I did get the onion armor from Crystal Tower, which I glamored into my Hussar's jacket, because it looks a lot better.
Yeah, the Hussar's jacket is really cool looking. The Pugilist one is awesome, too. The monk one.
And then, like, all the female Mithras are just glamoring their stuff into the bikinis.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, naked people running around now.
Yeah, it's funny. I told my friend, I was like, dude, you need to glamour all your armor into the bathing suit. But he won't do it. And we have our little free company house. Can you just walk into anybody's house?
I think so. I think they have to open it to be, like, public. Okay. But I'm pretty sure you could just walk into people's houses.
Yeah, because I clicked on the door. It's like, enter, yes or no. I'm like, oh, I don't want to say yes and then go into someone's random house. But yeah, we got there. And we're like, we spent like way too long. I have a video of it where we're all in costume dancing on top of something in our free company house for like 10 minutes instead of doing like a Braveflox run. But it was just really funny. But yeah, I really don't want to farm Atma. But the only reason I got I'm at 1 of 12. And the only reason I'm there is because I was doing some dailies in a little Alamigo. And I figured, oh, well, I'll just do these fates as I'm doing dailies. And I got one there. But yeah, I really don't want to. My cousin got his pretty fast. Granted, he stayed up till like 4 in the morning. He's like, oh, yeah, just 7 hours casually doing Fates. I'm like, F that.
I really don't want See, there's but... some people that got them, like, the first day of the patch. And, yeah, mm-hmm. they did, like, a 12-hour grind and they got it. But I have people in my friend company that have been grinding Fates for, like, 5 hours a day since the thing. And they were only, like, at 8 out of 12 at their app. It's like, I can't do it. I can't put my fate in the hands of a random number generator because they hate me.
Yeah, it's like, it's I really don't want to do it. But I'm thinking, I do have, like, the entire last season of Sons of Anarchy to watch. So I think this week I might just, as I'm watching Sons of Anarchy, like, just kind of run around and do some. It's like, if I was able to get... enough soldiery to get all those pieces that I need and do Binding Coil to get my Weathered Polearm, it's like, then I would. But then in order to upgrade that to the actual, you know, the non-weathered version, I need, like, a higher tier of Coil of Bahamut or second
Coil second of Bahamut. Turn.
Yeah, second turn. I need that in order to make it into the... Hyrule, which I'm sure that item that drops is a random percentage as well. But it's like, I feel like either way it's going to take time, so I might as well just, as I'm doing something else, do some Fates, I guess. But
I would rather farm tomes and do Coil, but I have Twintania kill, so I can go right into second turn. But
yeah, but I wouldn't mind just...
I don't know.
Spamming runs and getting tomes, but a lot of people, like, they don't do them for that long. Like, we'll do, like, maybe 2 or 3 and then something happens, but, and I don't want to join up with random people. And I did one low level roulette. We did a Haku Manor, which I had been so long, I was like, oh, but we won. But it's like, and I can do, I think the, I can do the end, the high level ones for the story. And I think I can do another one, but then the other ones are blocked off because I haven't finished all of the whatever question mark runs that they want me to do first. But I don't know. It'll probably be a slow... It'll take me a while to upgrade all my armor. And then who knows? Felt like it took forever to replace my goddamn accessories. It's like every time something would drop in Braflox, it was like, oh, that's not the one I need.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. I mean, it was fine because at least if I was wearing the stuff I can craft, if I spirit bound it, I could convert it to materia and sell it if the materia sells well. But then it's like, now I'm trying to sell some materia that typically goes for a decent price, but everybody's flooding the fucking market board because they're stupid. Goddamn idiots. 12-year-old's going, oh yeah, I'll just put it up really cheap so my stuff sells, ha 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 ha.
Supply and demand. I wanted to sell first.
Stupid. Like, I do like, though, when I sell something that I don't care about, it's like, oh, this thing only goes for 4K. All right, whatever. So I kind of put it up whatever the median price is. And then when people undercut me, I'm like, okay, fuck you. So I put it up for like 1K. So I'm like, I really don't give a shit. Like, I used to do that in 11. Like, if it was something I didn't care about, I'd be like, no, I don't care about this item. I just want it gone. Granted, in that, you couldn't see the price of everybody who was listing their item on 11. You just had to look at the history.
Yeah.
Which I felt was a much better system. But I guess you have to have it the way it is in 14 because you can sell stuff in different quantities.
So. Yeah, you can't sell, like, one or a stack, so you have to be able to choose what it is.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like, because then fucking people that sell stuff are really cheap, but they sell them in stacks of 99. I would rather pay, like, 1K extra and get 5 of them.
Yeah, and get the low amount that you actually need.
Yeah.
I did it often, like, if I was trying to craft something, but...
I always sell my materials. If I get multiples of materia, I always sell them as singles because you'll get more for it and they'll sell faster because people don't want 20 materia.
I didn't realize until the other day that if you have multiple of the same materia, you can trade them to that goblin and he'll change it.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes that's what pissed me off. It's like I hate the fact that I'm converting strength rings and I'm getting earth 3 materia. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's like, I hate getting elemental materia when I'm converting my strength accessories.
And elemental materia is so useless now. Literally useless. It was kind of useless in 1.0, but it was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could actually have decent gear and quintuple meld it, and it was really good. But now your meldable materia is, or your meldable gear is I-70, and it brings your eye level down. And then you can't get into stuff because your eye level is too low.
Yeah. I just... And I need, like, to max out my materia on my goldsmith gear. But I need, like, so many pieces of control 4 materia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I need like $1 million to buy all the pieces I need, and then on top of that all the CP3 materia I need. It's like I actually have money now. I have like the most money I've ever had ever. I'm sure if I didn't spend it when I was leveling up stuff, but I have like a lot of, I'm like, I actually have money because I've been converting stuff I've spirit-bound.
Yeah. But,
which is annoying that makes me more money than actually crafting stuff. It's like, I hate that. It's like, I feel like crafting is way worse than culinary was in 11. Or like culinary, yeah. It's like, yeah, you don't really make a whole lot, but you just make a little bit over time because you're selling food that everybody uses. It's like, yeah, well, the market board in this is dumb because people just undercut and don't know what the hell they're doing. Yeah, I just want to break even. Idiots. And I hate that it's like, I understand on certain items, like if I'm making like a base weapon, like a 2-star weapon, 2-star item or something, I can understand that the HQ will sell for way more than the NQ, and sometimes the NQs sell for less than the material cost because no one really wants to buy them. I mean, except people that don't know any better, I guess. Mm-hmm. So... I get that, but I hate that people that are selling their HQ versions of accessories and stuff at lower than the normal quality version. It's like, dude, I'm sorry.
It's like, did you HQ that on accident and you're just trying to get rid of it? Like,
yeah, it's like, I don't know. You shouldn't. It's like, and people that sell stuff like that, they don't like miscellaneous crap. They don't want, like, oh, I got some stupid sword I don't need, and they sell it for like below the NPC value.
Mm-hmm.
Morons. Making money in that game is just annoying.
It's just laziness. They're too lazy to go and like sell it to the NPC or see what the sell price.
It says right on the item, though. Board. Yeah. It's like, whatever. I just wish, like, I wouldn't even care if it was only like, you know, a small percentage of money I can make, but it's like, even the items I can, if I put it up there, some motherfucker is going to undercut me by, you know, way too much to where it's just, well, don't matter anymore because it's not worth the materials or my time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, before I left for a while, it's like, I loved crafting HQ accessories. It's like, that's what I do. I'd make strength rings and the rings that are really not popular, but that sold really well. And I was like, oh, I'll just make these. And for a while, they would make me a fairly decent amount of money. Not anymore. It's like, I don't think Rubellite rings HQ should be 4K. It's like, that is super cheap for the best strength ring you can get at that point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that's way too low. But whatever. I guess people like to make money by spending their company seals on ingredients and then using those to make items. At least then you're not.
Oh yeah, I forgot you can do that now.
Yeah, I wish unique items when they were spirit bound could be converted.
Yeah.
Like, it's really
give you like a higher chance of getting a better materia.
Yeah, like I mean, I guess they don't want to do that because otherwise people would just spam Crystal Tower and Spearbind and sell all this flood with higher level materia. But it annoys me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just get this up. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I can't convert it because it's a rare, unique piece. And then I have,
no,
like,
it's just gonna sit there, shove it in an NPC's face. I don't want it.
Yeah, it's like, I can't. I mean, I guess you could trade it for company seals, but and then you get like what, 400 or something. It's like, well, this doesn't really help me that much.
Yeah, I guess if you're spending your company seals on materials, it's okay. But
yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I spend my company seals on is like on a Coke, and that's essentially it, because usually that's the most common thing we go through. Like in our company chest, we'll have ingredients, and then like when I needed to raise my eye level, we had a guy who had like I think he had a lot of high tier crafting jobs, and he made me a bunch of dark steel pieces, and he used a bunch of company chest ingredients to put them together. So then the other day I bought 7 things of Coke with my company seals to help pay for another free company person's armor that we were putting together. Be like, all right, well, I'll pay it forward. And then I figure once the dark steel stuff, which can be converted, gets finished to a spirit bound, which I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet. It's almost there, but not quite yet. But once that's done, then I'll just convert that and then probably put that material either into the company chest or try to sell it and then put that money in our company chest. That way I'm at least not banking it for myself and giving it back to the company. But yeah, I gotta do Groot Extreme. I was gonna do it last night, but I was way too tired. And then I think Groot Extreme is a story mission.
It, once you beat Garuda Extreme, it unlocks Titan Extreme, and then you beat Titan, you get access to Ifrit, and then you beat Ifrit, you get access to Leviathan.
Yeah.
But Garuda's easy, though. Garuda Extreme, her rotation's really easy to learn.
Yeah, someone in the free comment was saying he thinks Garuda Extreme is easier than Garuda Hard Mode. And my cousin was trying to do it last night, but he was in a Duty Finder group, and he wasn't having that much fun, I guess. Yeah. Look forward to doing all that. I got to do stupid Sunken Temple of Gwarn again for some side quest. It's like, I already did this. Why do I have to do it again?
I hate that dungeon.
It has some okay mechanics, boss wise, like on the fights.
It's
but
long, though. It's so long.
And it's like, oh, we missed one of the things. We got to go back and find out which one it was.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like, that's annoying, but oh well. She's been playing mainly FF?
Yeah, playing on my DS a little bit, and I was just busy this week with other stuff, so I didn't have a lot of time to play, but yeah. I was supposed to get my soldiery body this week.
Nice.
But I ended up not farming, really, so I'm still a little bit short for it. Oh well, I'll get it eventually.
They got that stupid cap.
Yeah, I was supposed to get it last week, but I did math wrong, and I ended up being I was going to be like 120 tomes short once I hit the cap, so I was like, I'll just get it next week, and then I didn't farm this week, so I was like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah.
My coil group fell apart, so I don't have anything to gear for right now.
Oh. Yeah, I know my free company has one static group that does binding coil, and then I think we were going to get another one going for me and my cousin and whoever else wanted to. But I don't know.
You haven't done any coil yet?
Nope, none of it.
Oh, that's pretty
fun.
Well,
for a while, I didn't make the eye level because I still had shitty accessories. I finally got to 71 and then 73. And so now I'm able to do the first 3. I think, I don't know about if the fourth is locked or what the item level is. But
the fourth
I haven't
is probably locked because the fourth turn is a huge DPS check. It's just a DPS race to beat the rage timer.
Yeah.
So you probably need to bump up your eye level a lot for that one, but it's still pretty easy. The hardest one we did was Twintania, the turn 5, but even that only took us like 3 weeks to beat.
Yeah. Is there a limited amount of times you can do Binding Coil?
Well, you have a time limit when you go in, like an hour or something like that. But you can, if you run out of time when you're in Coil, you can go out and then, as long as you leave through like the entrance thing or whatever, you can go out and then queue up for it again and go right back in.
But I mean, like, when you beat it, are you allowed to go in, or does it have a timer? Like, you can only beat it once a week or something.
Oh no, you can beat it as many times as you want. It used
Okay.
to have a timer, but I
Yeah,
think they
yeah.
took it away
Okay, I was gonna
because
say,
people
because.
wanted to farm it.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I was asking my cousin, I was like, well, that's weird that they'd want to set up a static for us separately instead of just running with us. And I was like, well, maybe it's something where, like, you can only run it X amount of times, or you can only do, like, there's some weird mechanic that prevented one person from running with multiple different groups.
No, you can do it as many times as you want. No, it used to be a once a week thing where you could only go into Coil once a week, but they changed it on the 2.2 update, I think.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think you could only get one drop a week from Crystal Tower before, but now I think they changed that too. You can get multiples, I think. I don't know, I wasn't paying attention. But yeah, you can do Coil as many times as you want, and you don't always have to go with your static. You can queue up for it in the duty finder.
Yeah.
Because I did a lot of turn four farming trying to get the boots for my bard, and I would just queue up for the duty finder because it's not really a super difficult turn. It's just you have to do a lot of damage really fast. It's a big spam fest.
Yeah.
So I did that for a while. I still never got my boots. I gave up.
Right. I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. A little FF talk. I could keep going on and on about it, but
Yep.
I want to, like, cut together the footage of all our failed attempts of every time we died, and then finally cut in the part where we won the Ultima hard mode. Then I tried making it. I made a video the other day using the share factory function that got added to the PS4, and it's actually pretty neat. I really like the controls for editing on the controller. It's really nice. I wish they had a couple of the transition features, but overall it's a really nice editing feature on the console. I just need to buy a little, like, USB dongle that has a couple of gigs on it, so I can put all of my video footage on that and then put that over to my computer so I can edit it. And I haven't tried hooking it up to my capture device yet to see if it would work. I know because they got the HDMI or HDCP removed, but when I was listening to the patch, Ryan was saying that they tried it and it didn't work with their Blackmagic capture device, which is the one I have, the Intensity Pro, or Blackmagic Intensity Extreme. But I know people have used that before the HDCP was removed, by using HDCP stripping devices. Yeah,
Yeah.
and they would use that capture device. But I haven't tried it yet on mine to see if it works. I'll have to do it at some point and plug it in and see how that goes. But for right now, it's like, if I have anything I need to edit, I can just do it on there and then export it onto a dongle and upload it to YouTube.
Well,
I'm
they
hoping to
did a
get.
versus episode with a PS4 game.
Yeah, so they must have, they probably did it maybe where they got it to work eventually. This was like on the patch, it was like the
Yeah, they
day
must have did the
after.
patch before they did the versus because
Yeah, it was probably the
they got
day
it to work.
after, and then they got it to work and they didn't talk about it before, because I don't think Ryan was on the last episode of the patch. But
I haven't watched the latest one, so I don't know.
the only problem I have with the patch is that, like, I liked when they, like, I was going back listening to all the old Rooster Teeth podcasts, starting from number one and going all the way back up, because they're fun to listen to if you haven't listened to them in a long time, just hearing the old stories. Sometimes you hear a part, you're like, oh, I remember this segment, and it gets kind of boring, you kind of tune out. But a lot of the story stuff is really funny. But the problem with the patch, I feel, is, like, because they're not like IGN or GamesRadar or like an actual game company or a news company, that hearing them talk about games, or they just kind of say, they say stuff, they're just, I mean, obviously we do it too, but I feel like, I don't know, like, there's some things that they're a little more, like, they'll just say one thing, like Bernie will say something, but it's not the full thing that they're saying, like, oh, I think this, especially when it's PlayStation related. Like, when it's Xbox stuff, I feel like they know it more,
Yeah.
but when it's PS3 or PS4 things, they don't quite know all the information, and then they just kind of say, I think it's like this, and it's like, I listen to the podcast, and I'm like, man, I want to correct them so bad, but I'm pretty sure someone else probably already corrected them. But
it's just, it's funny sometimes to listen to it. It's like, so wrong. But yeah. Yeah, I guess I'll wrap it up. We need a secret word this week. I don't know what the secret word should be. I guess just Gex. So G-E-X. Doesn't matter if you do a capital or lowercase, it should all work. So Gex. G-E-X. That'd be a secret word. And then, yeah, I guess that'll wrap it up for this week's episode. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. Hopefully, Isley will be back next time. And thank you all for tuning in and listening, and we will see you all next time.
Bye!